Hi, this is Sarah.
And Chris.
We're just getting ready for a time of wonder,
excitement,
and discovery.
Welcome to
the unofficial Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Well, Sarah, let's talk about the forgotten deed.
It made me, bawl my eyes out.
I decided not to say anything.
Oh, that was wonderful.
Well, I am! Oh.
Welcome, everyone, to the 36th edition of the Unofficial Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Hello!
Today we are reviewing The Forgotten Deed.
That's right.
Sorry it's taken us so long to record, you guys. We've been really, really busy, and our schedules have been conflicting horribly. When one of us is free, the other one isn't, so yeah, apologize for that. But hey, we're here now, and you get a double feature, so.
Definitely, and, well, thank you, first of all, for your patience. I know a lot of you have been asking, when is the next podcast going to be released? And, like Sarah's mentioned, we've had a conflict of schedules, so we've had to kind of rearrange everything around, but we're back.
Yep. Term papers and finals and...
Yeah, it's that time of year
again. Other things got in the way.
Well, Sarah, let's talk about the forgotten deed.
Okay, where should we start?
Well, I was going to start off with the first part of the episode. Just a brief mention here of the interaction with Jack and Whit. I think the scene opened, or the episode rather, opened with them talking to each other. And I don't recall the last time they were in a scene together, just talking like friends.
Didn't they do it? I can't remember when. Didn't they do it when Jack hired PJ or something?
Well, I'm sure they've had scenes together, but I just can't recall a recent one, or ones that very regular conversations with them together.
Yeah, well, this one gave me flashbacks to the old Family Portraits episodes. Because in a lot of those, Whit's just sitting behind the counter, having coffee, talking with people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not nearly so busy.
That's true. And there were also additional references, which we will get to some of the, not Family Portraits, but to some of the earlier episodes in Odyssey's history.
Like recollections,
yes.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about that later.
Okay.
So,
See, everybody? Sarah can talk quietly.
Hoo-hoo! Was that a shot at some of our listeners?
No!
Okay. Well, the second thing that I wanted to bring up was Crime Brian Dern. I love this guy. He's come up in every other episode, and he's played the perfect role.
How would you like a squeegee in your...
Shoved up your nose. Yeah, it could have gone other places, but I'm glad they kept that one G-rated. It's interesting, because he's been pretty brutal toward Whit, or at least Whit's End, and... Almost more than just a comedic character, because that's generally what he's all about, right? Just being this kind of comedy act. And in this one, he was more of a slapstick-type villain, in a way, because he was really quite hard on what I found.
I liked his exchange with Eugene, where Eugene said something, and Dern takes it into this whole other thing, and he's like, "That's what you meant, isn't it?" And Eugene's like, "No," and he's like... Well, I did!
Yeah, I was like, are you suggesting a conspiracy? No. Well, I am! Oh,
that was wonderful.
You have these two extreme characters, Edwin and Crying Brian Dern, and the juxtaposition of their demeanor versus the mostly calm and reserved other characters in Odyssey are... It can be quite humorous at times, especially with Connie's brief conversation with Dern. She's like, I decided not to say anything, and then goes rambling on and says, well, I'm not going to listen to you anymore.
But that's Connie.
I know. But still, that was amusing.
Mm-hmm.
Did the cuts at all between Dern's interviews with Eugene, Connie, Bernard, did they remind you at all of another episode? Because That one gave me flashbacks to Tongue of Fire, where Eugene, or not Eugene, sorry, where Jimmy in
Jimmy.
his demo tape did a similar thing with the cuts between his jokes, and he had some really random sound effects going on there.
Except in Jimmy's, it was the listener that was getting, or like the interviewee that was getting slammed. And in these, Dern was the one that was getting slammed.
Right.
I'm surprised that Dern aired them, considering that he got slammed.
Well, like he said, he was intruding upon the thoughts and feelings of the townsfolk. So that was the those are the couple those are the fun parts of the show. I guess the real meat of The Forgotten Deed was the whole discussion of the ownership of Wits End and its adjoining land.
Yay! They brought it up again.
I'm glad they brought it up because this was one of those maybe goofs you could say where they didn't quite get it right the first time. They said, oh, he bought the whole land or the adjoining land, and then later on Philip Glossman says, you don't actually own the land. So they actually fixed up their mistake by making it all correct in the end.
Although they had me going for a while that Wits End wouldn't be able to open. And in this scene where they all make excuses to go to Wits End in the middle of the night,
Yeah.
and there, Connie's like, let's see if we can hear some of them now. I was waiting for them to go onto a montage of old scenes. I really was. And I was hoping they would, like, I don't know if they would or wouldn't, because if they did, I would have cried. I know that.
Don't think it was meant to be a serious scene, although you kind of got the feeling it was
Yeah.
at the beginning.
And here's the really funny part. I thought it was hilarious that Jack was the one that broke it and said, nope, I can't. I hear a sandwich calling my name. That sounded so much more like something Bernard would say
Yeah, that was more of a Bernard line.
than a Jack line.
Yeah. Hey, I'm sure he's joked around with Wit a lot in his past, so.
I know. And I missed Tom not being there.
Yes. Well, that's just what I was going to mention was the gathering of the five of them, Bernard, Eugene, Connie, Jack, and Wit, was very reminiscent of the times whenever there's been a big crisis or important situation, they've always come together, whether it's been Wit's End or somewhere else, and they've pray together about it. The one that comes up to mind first and foremost would be Novacom Arc,
Yep,
where
I
they
just
pray for
listened to that.
Tom. They prayed for Tom and when he was accused of bringing down the tower, and but they all got together and they prayed over the situation. And that was really good to see them do that in this situation, even though it wasn't a, I guess it was a major thing because this could have potentially been the last day of Wits End being opened. So the second part of, or the second half of this show featured the city council meeting, where Wit was to present his case to Margaret Fay, saying why we should keep it open, or what they plan to do with the building. Did you have any thoughts on that? Did that remind you of anything else?
I don't know, but I loved Eugene Stalling.
Yeah, everyone groaned. I love the fact that everyone groaned when he stood up to speak. Yeah, even Margaret was like, oh dear, oh dear, not Eugene.
It was good. And I thought it was interesting that Wit said that he couldn't do it without Jack being there.
Well, he needed the document. He needed the photocopies of the deed, the forgotten deed,
Oh, okay.
right?
Yeah,
What
that makes sense
deed
now.
indeed?
Yeah.
That was another good line there from Eugene. Oh. But I found the whole scene with Margaret Fay saying, okay, are you going to create a religiously neutral place? That was in direct correlation to Malachi's message when she had the same conversation with Tom over the Timothy Center. And in that episode, she was really, really adamant about a building that was based on Christian principles, and she's like, no, that's not gonna go through. And so yeah, there was definitely that parallel between the Timothy Center and Wits End. Obviously though, in this case, Wit had some real proof. So that was good.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting that yet again they brought up the separation of church and state and mentioned they had a very similar conversation to what they had in the Living
That,
Nativity.
yeah, definitely.
That it's not actually in the Constitution, but that's the current interpretation.
Right.
And You know what? In all honesty, it makes sense. It's frustrating at times, but you know, if this was something else, like let's say like
Nativity scene.
no, I wasn't going there. I was gonna say if it was a building that wasn't like instead of being like a Christian like Wits End, let's say it was like a Wiccan house or something like that.
Right.
That wouldn't be allowed on government property. You'd have every Christian out there, you know, protesting it. The government supporting that. So, it
Right.
makes sense. I don't necessarily agree with it, but, you know, if I was on the other side of the debate, I'd understand why.
Right. Well, I understand that too, because I think one of the benefits of having Margaret Fay as mayor rather than Tom is that you've been able to provide some relevance for the listener, in that you're not gonna have a mayor or politician or city representative either way who's first of all a Christian, a believer, and so a lot of the issues that come up politically anyway. Aren't necessarily going to go your way. And so for Wit to have to stand up against Margaret in a sense was good, because I think that provides some assurance for us in that we can find ways to support and maintain things that are important to us. Wit's End obviously was so critical to Odyssey. And I like the fact we mentioned this earlier. I like the fact that that he prayed over that, because I think it can be really easy. And they mentioned that before in an interview I think we did with Marshall Nathan about I think it was an interview. I don't remember where it was, but how in Novacom they had to kind of t take it back, take a step back and pray over the whole situation, because they weren't really addressing that faith element. So the fact that they had that. They didn't really show the prayer at all, but the fact that they did mention that they were going to pray about it was helpful as well. So that was neat. And then when it was finally resolved, I love the fact that the property was sold for the sum of $1.
Yay! Which does happen in other areas in Odyssey that's in the victim of circumstance where Jason or where Rodney Rathbone sues Wits End and wins by $1.
The lawsuit against Wits End, against Jason and Wits End, actually. Anything else that you that stood out to you at all, Sarah, in this episode?
Oh, I liked that Ms. McAllister got to kind of tell Margaret Fay in the city council like what for. She's like, well, that's the way we did things back then. God was never in question. I was like, that's right, you
Yeah.
go.
Do you take it or leave it?
Oh, and I thought other thing I thought was very fitting was the fact that UPF bought McAllister Park. Because in Recollections, we're told that the Universal Press Foundation of Chicago bought the property, the Fillmore Recreation Center, and its surrounding building, and its adjoining land for something, I don't remember how much money. And now UPF bought the rest of, like, bought McAllister Park, so it really does own the whole area, and then it can never be sold. So it was a great way to tie up that misprint of before, misspeak, whatever. So now I'm waiting for an explanation about Lucy Cunningham Schultz's name.
One of those profound mysteries in Odyssey that I don't know if they'll ever. I think they did kind of explain it, in Question About Zachary. I think that's when they kind of try to resolve that goof up.
You know, Truth About Zachary might have kind of answered the question, but it really didn't. But you know what really would answer the question about Lucy's last name?
What?
If she got married.
Ho-ho! That would fix it.
That would fix the problem right there. You hear that, Odyssey? Her name problems out the window if she gets married.
You're absolutely right. But just to wrap up on The Forgotten Deed, I thought the ending of the show was perfect. And I think I might have mentioned this in an earlier podcast, but I think they could have ended Adventures in Odyssey with this show, or that scene at least, and I would have been totally satisfied. To have them basically reiterate essentially the vision for Wits End was extremely powerful. And again, it referenced back to recollections when Wit originally laid down his plans for Wit's End, a place where kids of all ages.
Can just be kids.
Right. And then those three thank yous or thank God for, where Wit, I think it was Wit who said, thank God for Wit's End, or Eugene said that, and then Connie was like, thank God for Wit, and Wit was like, thank God for Odyssey. And that pretty much sums up my thoughts on the program, the radio show as a whole. Like, thank God that we have Wit's End. Thank God that we have Wit. Thank God that we have Odyssey. So that was, I thought that was a perfect ending to the show.
Yeah, Chris, I completely agree with what you just said there. I honestly couldn't have said it better myself. Yeah. If Odyssey had ended on that, yeah, I don't really have any words.
Sweet. All right. So, before we get to, well, should we get to our review first, should we get to our rating first, or should we play the clip from Evan?
Let's do our clue first.
Oh, switching things up.
Yeah.
All
Well,
righty.
come on, we don't want them to just fast forward to the end. They gotta listen to the whole show.
I know. Well, we haven't really done a clue at the end in a while, so. Okay.
That's okay. All right, Chris, so what's the word of this week?
Well, Sarah, the word for today is land.
Yay!
Yay. Oh, and just for clarification for those, someone asked on our blog whether they
Which
could.
you all should visit.
Yes, which you shall. What's the web? What's the URL, Sarah, by the way?
AIOFanPodcast.blogspot.com.
And yeah, so one of our listeners asked, can we start guessing, or when can we start guessing and submitting our answers? And my response, or our response, is you can start guessing as soon as we've given out all 12 clues. So you can start like concocting your formulas and trying to figure out what the word is now, but you can save that till the end, or save it to like the 10th or 11th clue, because you can't submit it until you get all 12 clues.
Are we going to allow more than one submission per person?
I would say yes, because remember, it's the first 10 correct answers. So if you want to guess a bunch of different answers, that's cool. Because you're only going to get one entry anyways.
Okay.
So you can guess pretty much as many times as you want, but you'll only get one entry, so.
Alrighty.
So, Evan or rating?
Evan.
Okay. One of our listeners was kind enough to send us an audio review of his experience at the recording for The Forgotten Deed. He was able to visit the studio and see the actors for, I think, I don't know, maybe half of the show. He didn't see the whole recording, but anyways, it's a nice little behind the scenes look at what went on, and we're gonna play that for you right now.
Hey, my name's Evan, and I recently viewed the recording of the episode The Forgotten Deed. During my visit there, I saw many of the stars in this episode, including Corey Burton, who plays Crying Brian Dern, Will Ryan, who of course plays Eugene Miltzner. Katie Lee, who was loads of fun, who plays Connie Kendall, and many, many others. It was really fun. When I first walked in, I walked into the scene where Corey Burton, Crime Brian Dern, is interviewing Eugene about what he felt about the situation with Wit's End. He also then interviewed Bernard, of course, and Bernard says this great line, "How would you like a squeegee shoved up your nose?" And that was quite funny, especially when Dave Madden said it about three different ways. I believe they used the second in the final product. It was very funny. Later on, when Eugene was stalling for time at the town council meeting. It actually seemed to go a lot longer than what was actually shown in the final product. And he had a lot more lines than was actually used. If you listen really carefully in the actual episode, you'll hear a whole separate set of lines that Will Ryan continues to speak. And if you listen to them by themselves, it's all really funny. He just goes on and on with this pointless, very Eugenie-like information. We broke for lunch, around the time where Whit and Jack are both trying to find the deed to the land to figure out how they can solve the problem. From all accounts, after the producers were done editing it, from when I watched it being recorded in the recording studio, it was a phenomenal episode all around. And I definitely give it maybe a 7 out of 5 easy. AIO at its best. And I hope the producers do more episodes like this in the future. Good job. Back to you, Chris and Sarah.
All right. Thanks, Evan.
Cool. Well, I can definitely tell you you have a voice for radio. It sounded like I'm definitely looking forward to your cameo in Rights, Wrongs, and Reasons. So.
Winners, Chris.
Rights, Wrongs, and Winners. I knew that. Sorry.
Sure you did.
Yeah. Really. So, let's wrap this up with a final rating.
All right. 6 out of 5.
I'm going to give this one a 7 out of 5.
Wait!
You keep changing your rating. Every time I give my rating, you're like, oh, no, wait, I want to change mine.
I do!
Okay,
because I realized, okay, here's the thing. This wrapped up so many things, but last week's, the, A Class Reenactment, I gave that a 6, I think.
Oh, okay.
And...
Yes, you did.
I think that one needs to go higher, and this one... I don't know. I don't know what to do. Well, then, I hate ratings!
Okay, give this like a 5.5, then. Or 5.7.
But it really was, like, amazing, because it answered so many questions.
Okay, well then backtrack. You always... Okay, you've done this before, so go ahead.
Okay, so... My rating for A Class Reenactment is going up to an 8, and this one is a 7.
Wow, okay, well, I'm still sticking with my 7, I'm not changing it. 7 out of 5 stars, this episode was amazing. Like Sarah said, it answered a lot of questions, and it had an outstanding ending, so 7 stars.
But, okay, for the record, A Class Reenactment is only that high just because it made me, like, bawl my eyes out.
Right, well, that's understandable.
So,
nevertheless, 7 stars.
Okay. Yay! So, you guys will hear from us very soon, we hope. And, yeah, I'd say have a good week, but it probably won't be a whole week before you hear from us again.
Nope. It'll be a matter of days, hopefully.
Yay! Happy spring, everybody!
And stay tuned
for more
Unofficial Adventures in Odyssey talk. Yay. Bye.
Bye.